So Asha Yatsa. So the goal of the next few minutes is to totally change your lives for the next roughly 100 years. Okay, Asha Yatsa. So we're going to mention 3 points about Asha Yatsa. Well, okay, Asha Yatsa is really important bracha. The Shulchan Aruch translates all of Asha Yatsa, Simen Vav. Gives you all these different pshatim. I think it's the only bracha that the Shulchan Aruch gives you all the pshatim of what the bracha might mean. Okay, 3 angles on Asha Yatsa. Number one, this is the simplest angle, which you don't think about when you're young. When you get older, you go to doctors, you think about it more, but we think about it all the time, and we'll read an essay later, is that you have to appreciate the fact that our bodies run normally. The slightest blockage, lo aleinu, tiny, minuscule, the slightest interruption of the normal bodily functions, rahmanul islam, a person can die, God forbid. Leaving out that, just the pain that a person is involved in, you know, a person can get I know someone who had a surgery when he was younger on his stomach, some surgery inside, and the doctor didn't do a great job, so there's scar tissue floating around inside over there, and every now and then, every couple of years or every whenever it happens, so that scar tissue sort of latches on to an intestine, and then there's a blockage and there's pain and this and that. It's a terrible thing. It's like, you know, you feel weird even thinking about it. But we have to understand that it's a massive nace how the body works. And especially as science develops further and further, we understand, like, momish, minuscule things, teeny tiny. So every time a person goes to the bathroom, you have to appreciate that things run normally. And you have to thank Hashem for it. And that's Asha Yatsa. When you're young, people that are young, Baruch Hashem, are healthy, so they don't think about these things. But you have to. And you have to thank Hashem. And this is a big yesod. This is a major yesod in life. A lot of people turn to Hashem when life is rough. Oh, Hashem, help me out. But when life is good, you know, life is good. All right, you know, I'll daven. And it's not a good thing. When life is good, and life is healthy, and life is quote-unquote regular, you have to constantly thank Hashem that my life runs regularly, just regular. It's all in Hashem's hands. When, lo aleinu, one of these minor things happen, which ends up being major, so that's the push-up shot of Asha Yatsar. You go, things run normally. Yeah, of course. Well, it doesn't run normally for everyone. Lo aleinu, people have things going on inside that aren't good. I just mentioned that one example. That's a, you know, this person, every couple of years, never knows if suddenly there's, I mean, go to hospital and there's a whole thing you have to do. So that's number one. And the Sfarim quote, it's a huge skula for staying healthy, to have kavana by Asha Yatsa. A huge, gigantic skula. They quote in the Sfarim that if you have, say, with kavana, then you'll never need a doctor. So it's a good thing to do. I'm talking to myself more than I'm talking to you. So we discussed schedules, you have to exercise and everything, things like that. Thank Hashem for the quote-unquote regular health. Don't wait till things are bad, lo aleinu. Oh, Hashem, help me out, I have trouble. And it's, some people are... Is that clear? That's the push-up shot of Asha Yatsa. We'll read a story about it with Dr. Hashem in a few minutes. Okay. The next level of Asha Yatsa is, this is a very broad Torah concept that everyone talks about. I quote it from our first, but everyone talks about it. Which is, Asha Yatsar is one of the classic examples in life that we can find Kedusha and Ruchnius everywhere. The way the Torah system works is, oh, what is Kedusha? When you're learning, when you're davening, when you're shuk schlepping, oh, that's a mitzvah, that's chesed, that's learning, that's davening. But, you know, regular physical things, so it's not true. The whole way Yahadus works is, where is their ruchnius? Everywhere. You eat food, you say a bracha, every physical thing you do. So if you sort of think about, like, what's the most physical thing we do that is sort of totally similar to the animals, what is it? It's going to the bathroom. You know, it's hard to think of something more mundane than that. Even that, you say a bracha afterwards, then what? Suddenly there's ruchnius, there's kedusha, you're thanking Hashem. Even something totally physical, totally like you're an animal, even that is a mitzvah, and there's kedusha, there's ruchnius, if you say the bracha afterwards with kavana. You got it? So this is a broad topic. Like sometimes, like there's a famous Ramban who talks about how come there are no numbers, how come there's no names for the days of the week in Judaism, just numbers. Also the months, the Torah doesn't have names, just numbers. Why is that? So the Ramban says that Hashem wants us, when you mention the day of the week, what do you think of? Shabbos. Meaning, oh, what's today's day? Oh, it's, oh, Yom Shlishi, oh, Shlishi v'Shabbos. So just mentioning the day, like, you know, the day is a neutral thing. What's today's date? What day? That's neutral. Even the neutral thing becomes what? Kedusha, because you're thinking about Shabbos. What month is it? Oh, it's the eighth month. Eighth month from what? Oh, eighth month from the first month. Why is that the first month? Because that's when we left Mitzrayim. So just mentioning the date, suddenly there's Kedusha. There's, you got it? That's the famous spot. So that's Asher Yatzar in the most extreme way. There's Kedusha everywhere. Everywhere. Even that's the most animalistic thing. Okay? And then there's the Ramah. What do we say at the end of the bracha? So the bracha talks about there's openings inside and cavities and all these things. And if something open closes, something closed opens, and the whole system doesn't work, Rachmana Litzlan. And what does the bracha say at the end? Rofei chol basar umafli lasos. What does that mean in English? Acts wondrously. It's a wonder. The body is a wonder. So what does that mean? So the Ramah says, it means, what's the wonder? And this is a deep idea, that in the same thing, the same unit, inside of us, what's mixed up together? Ruchnius and Gashmius. The same, we're walking around, we're physical, and we have an neshama inside. And that balance that Hashem made, that there's Ruchnius, there's Gashmius, and our challenge is to focus on the Ruchnius and bring up the Gashmius in our bodies and our lives, that's mafli. How can you do that? Either something is cut or something is whole. How can you have it all mixed together inside? So the Ramah says, mixing up the gufa and the neshama, the body and neshama, all inside together, that's the mafli lasos. And some say that's why you say the double language, chalulim, chalulim. What's the other one? Nekavim, nekavim, nekavim. What's this double language? So some say it's a remez that you have physical chalulim, but there's also the ruchnius inside. There's a ruchnius neshama that corresponds to the physical. Everything's double. Every time you say Ashiyatzar, you think about, I'm physical, I have a neshama, I'm going to raise the neshama up and bring up the physical as much as I can, which is what Ashiyatzar does. So Ashiyatzar is unbelievable. You say Ashiyatzar a couple of times a day, every time is an opportunity, I'm going to bring up the ruchnius in me, raise up my physical existence a little more kedusha. So these are three things of Asher Yatzar. Number one, the basic. Thank Hashem that things run normally. Rachmana Litzlan, we shouldn't wait until things are bad. Oh, Hashem, help me out now, I have tzaros. No. You thank Hashem all the time, things run normally, things are good. Thank you, Hashem. And especially that we understand what we do at our article in a second. Number two, everything in life you can instill with kedusha. Everything. Eating, etc. Playing with a cup. How do we know playing with a cup has kedusha? How do we know? Because Rav Koren spends all this time, you know, he rips apart the cups. You ever seen that? You know, so apparently there must be something kedusha. Okay, whatever. Okay. So there's kedusha there as well. And then even going to the bathroom, there's nothing lower than that. And even that. And three, what's the mafli? What's the wonder? A human being is a wonder. Gosh, the great series of books, Radichil Spiro. He's written many books. What he does is he takes stories that haven't touched by a story. He has a couple of volumes. They're great stories, fabulous stories. Then he has touched by by the Seder, stories that fit for the Seder, touched by a prayer. He has fed volume 2, volume 1. I guess there'll be a volume 2. Maybe there is, I'm not sure. This is on the $30,000 list. You want to get this series. He found his niche. He's a great. He knows a lot of great stories. He tells them over really well. They're really powerful. I quote one of these. He has a story about Rav Aaron Soloveitchik in one of his books. This is if you're a Chicago guy. He tells a story that there was a Frum guy who went to a Chicago Bears football game. Where? Soldier Field. Is it still around? Are they still around? Soldier Field. So he's there at the game, and he talks to a guy next to him, and they exchange business cards. Okay. And then they're talking. Oh, you're Jewish? Yeah. He goes, oh, yeah, I know one Jew in Chicago. Who do you know? Aaron Soloveitchik. That's what the guy said to this guy sitting there at the Chicago Bears football game. He said, oh. So Rav Aaron has just died a few weeks earlier. He said, oh, I'm sorry to tell you, but Rabbi Soloveitchik died a few weeks ago. So this guy gets shaken up. This is in the book. Takes out his cell phone. Calls his wife. You can tell on the phone that his wife is crying. He says, oh, it's okay. We'll talk about it later. Okay. So this guy there, like, what's going on? Like, why is his wife crying when Rav Aaron dies? So Rav Aaron, when he was older, he lived in Chicago, and when the Rav got sick, and then when the Rav died, so Rav Aaron Soloveitchik would give shiur in YU, and he'd fly to YU every week, and then fly back to Chicago. He was in Chicago Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday. He was in YU Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. This went on for a lot of years, and he was very weak physically.
He's the Rav's son?
No, the Rav's younger brother. Oh, we're going to talk about that. When the year ends, you're not going to ask that question. Is that clear? That's going to be clear. No, that's going to be clear. No one graduates this class without, you're not going to ask that. It's okay to ask it now, but it's approved. No. The Rav's younger brother. We'll talk about it. So, when the Rav died, he took over. So Rav Aaron, on the airplane, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was just a friendly person. Just at ease, and would ask you, would take interest in your life and ask you. So the stewardesses would talk to them and get chizuk in their lives. He'd ask them how their lives. She would talk to them, and the stewardess, this guy's wife was a stewardess on like Eastern Airlines or whatever, American. And just when he was on the airplane, she and her friends got chizuk. He came on. He would talk to them. They would talk, and so she starts crying when he dies. That's an unbelievable story. And that story isn't touched by us. That's not connected with Hashiyatza. Maybe you can connect it somehow. I don't know. But that's. And if you met Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, that's the kind of person he was. You could talk to anyone, just pleasant. Okay. Good. So here's a story. I tried to Xerox it. The machine wasn't working exactly right. So it's a story. It's about someone who's Jewish. And apparently he's not fully observant. And when he was a kid, he went to yeshiva. And then he became a doctor. And he writes about Ashiyatza. Okay? So here's the story. He says, again, I would have been better if we read it together, but the machine's okay. It took me several decades to realize the wisdom that lay behind this blessing, Ashiyatza, that was composed by Abaye, a 4th century Babylonian rabbi. It's contained in the Talmud on Brachos, page 60b. Abaye said, one comes out of the privy, he should say, blessed is he who was born man in wisdom and created him in many orifices, and many cavities. It is obvious and known before your throne of glory that if one of them were to be ruptured or one of them blocked, it would be impossible for man to survive and stand before you. Blessed are you who heals all flesh and does wonders. A Jew should recite this blessing after each visit to the bathroom. We young yeshiva students were reminded of our obligation to recite this prayer by the signs that contained its text, the post just outside the restroom doors. It's one thing to post the signs. It's quite another to realistically expect pre-adolescence to have the maturity to realize the wisdom of the need for reciting a 1600-year-old blessing. It was not until my second year in medical school, in medical school, that I first began to understand the appropriateness of this short prayer. Pathophysiology, I guess that means how the body works inside, brought home to me the terrible consequence doctors must say this bracha with massive kavana, because they know what's going on over there. They really understand. In the structure and function of human body, at the very least, I began to no longer take for granted the normalcy of my trips to the bathroom. I started to realize how many things I had to operate just right for these minor interruptions of my daily routine to run smoothly. I thought of Abai and his blessing. I recalled the days at yeshiva, remembered how silly that sign outside the bathroom would seem. But after seeing patients whose lives revolve around dialysis machines, I realized how wise the rabbi had been. And then it happened. I began to recite Abai, this guy obviously is not religious. I began to recite Abai's bracha. At first I had to go back to my sitter, the Jewish paper, to get the text right. With repetition, and there are many opportunities for a novice to get to know this blessing well, I could recite it fluently, and was able to understand. Over the years, reciting Ashi Yotzer had become for me an opportunity to offer thanks not just for the proper function of my excretory organs, but my overall good health. My Baruch Hashem, you're healthy. So Ashi Yotzer is a daily, like mini Shemana Esrei. Thank you, Hashem, that I'm healthy. The text, therefore, all captures, refers to catastrophic consequences of the rupture or obstruction of any bodily structure. Oh, could Abai, for example, have foreseen that blockage of the cavity or lumen of the coronary artery would lead to the commonest cause of death in industrialized countries some 16 centuries later? I've often wondered, this is amazing, two paragraphs. I've often wondered if other people also yearn for some way to express gratitude for their good health. Physicians especially, who are exposed daily to the ravages that illness can wreak, must sometimes feel the need to express thanks for being well and well-being. No, he quotes here somewhere else that someone did a study that no other religion has this bracha. I saw it last night. Maybe it wasn't here. No other religion has this bracha. Okay, here we go. You ready? There was one unforgettable patient whose story reinforced the truth and beauty of Ashi Yotzer. Josh was a 20-year-old student who sustained an unstable fracture of his third and fourth cervical vertebrae in a motor vehicle crash. He nearly died from the injury, required emergency intubation and ventilatory support. He was initially totally quadriplegic, but weak flexion of his right biceps. A long and difficult period of stabilization and rehabilitation followed, etc. In time, after what seemed like a miracle, he was able to walk slowly with a leg brace and a cane. So he was able to a little bit get around. But Josh continued to require intermittent catheterization. I know only too well of the problems that perils this young man would face for the rest of his life because of a neurogenic bladder. The urologists were very pessimistic about his chance for not requiring catheterization. They had not seen the secure after a spinal cord injury of the severity. In other words, the doctors assumed he would never be able to use the bathroom normally on his own because of the injury. Then the impossible happened. I was there the day Josh no longer required a urinary catheter. I thought of Abai's Ashi Yotzer prayer, pointing out that I could not imagine a more meaningful scenario for his recitation. I suggested to Josh, who was also a yeshiva graduate, that he say the prayer. He agreed as he recited the ancient bracha, tears welled in my eyes, Josh is my son. This doctor's son, they weren't fully observant, clearly, but that's Ashi Yotzer. We shouldn't have to wait, Rachmana Litzlan, Lo Aleinu. Thank Hashem that things run normally. You got it? We're not doctors, but the doctors understand all these things. That's Ashi Yotzer. Ashi Yotzer can totally, completely change your life. A, very simple. Thank you, Hashem. Things run normally. I know it's all from you. B, there's Ruchnius and Gashmius in my life. I'm going to try to be a Ruchnius person. That's Ashi Yotzer. And to say it every day, it's a tremendous opportunity. This is a great book. We'll stop here. Yes.